Hello, beloved of God. Welcome to the second Sunday of Advent. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio joining you in waiting, in hopeful expectation of God's work in the world, in our lives, and for the future. Last week, for the first Sunday of Advent, Ron focused on expectant waiting, this hope for what we do not yet see. Today, we will focus on active waiting, on preparing ourselves and our world, on God's preparation for the coming of the Messiah, and on the preparations Jesus said he would be making. Our scripture from Romans 8 uses the imagery of pregnancy as preparation, yearning, expectation. As we approach Christmas, we think of Mary, pregnant with promise, waiting. So let's back up a little to bear witness to God's preparation, God preparing the way for Jesus' birth. God begins with unlikely people, a couple well past the age of childbearing, no longer expectant. From Luke chapter 1, during the rule of King Herod of Judea, there is a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron. One day, Zechariah was serving as a priest before God, and an angel appeared from the Lord, standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw the angel, he was startled and overcome with fear. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will give birth to your son, and you must name him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many people will rejoice at his birth. He will bring many Israelites back to the Lord their God. He will go forth before the Lord, equipped with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will turn the hearts of fathers back to their children, and he will turn the disobedient to righteous patterns of thinking. He will make ready a people prepared for the Lord." This is God's preparation. God sent the angel to prepare Zechariah. 6 months later, God sent the angel to prepare Mary. The sign for her to believe was that her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant. The angels know what is about to happen. Zechariah and Elizabeth are read in. Mary is invited to play her part, and then Joseph is informed of his role as husband and protector. Four people and a host of angels. Everyone else is ignorant. What they see is Roman occupation. What they experience is taxation. They are a nation struggling for survival under an oppressive regime. What God is preparing, they could not see, unless they were looking at the stars. The stars also knew what God was doing. From Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." God sent angels and set stars in motion for Jesus' birth. But let's take another step back to observe God's preparation since the beginning of time, because I think this Advent we are being invited to glimpse God's work in the world at the cosmic level, to gaze in awe and wonder, to lift our eyes from our present political and individual circumstances, and believe that the God of the universe has this all in hand. So that the beginning of the Advent story is before the angel appearing to Zechariah to say that his barren wife would become pregnant, before the prophets foretelling the Messiah, before David being promised that his heir would reign on the throne forever, before Abraham being promised that his descendants would be like the stars and would be a blessing to all nations. God's preparation is from the beginning. From Genesis 1, when God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and so light appeared. The Gospel of John reminds us that this was the beginning. This is where Advent starts. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. This is our hope, that the present darkness does not extinguish the light, that what we hear on the radio, read in the newspaper, see on our screens is not bigger than, more powerful than, the light. The God of the universe, who breathed over the chaos, who created light and life, is at work on a scale of time beyond even the stars. And this is a crucial and, that God loves each individual person, you and me, and invites us into relationship, into family, that Jesus cares about each of our illnesses and knows all of our sufferings and wants to enter into our lives at every level we are willing to invite him. Meanwhile, we live in a political reality that affects our lives. The scripture Vern read from Luke 3 reminds us of this reality. It's the 15th year of a Roman emperor. Pilate is governor. Herod and his brother Philip and some guy named Lysanias as rulers, and two church leaders trying to hold a delicate situation together to keep Rome from destroying and looting their temple. This is history on the ground, a volatile situation of politicians grasping at power, while the empire exerts control through public executions of possible revolutionaries, and the occupied people struggle for survival and hope for a messianic figure to save them by military or miraculous action. Is this so different from our current political reality? More than 140 million Americans cast their ballots in the presidential election, most of whom I think wanted something to change, for their lives to be made better by the outcome of a president. And no matter the result, some people would be celebrating and others devastated. And if we look around the world, we can become depressed or angry, overwhelmed by the violence and chaos. Are we surprised? Is God unaware? Did we think it would be otherwise? Jesus said in Matthew 24, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. War, suffering, hate, lawlessness, false prophets, these are not surprises. These are birth pains." Bring us back to our scripture from Romans 8. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reins it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. We are called to love and joyful anticipation. The only way we can do this is to trust that God, the God of the universe, the God of creation, the God of all beginnings, who breathed life and light, is still God, the God of justice, God of mercy, God of love. This is no small step of faith. Like the story in the Gospel of Mark of the father who wanted Jesus to heal his son, but wasn't even sure if it was possible for Jesus to do it, we need Jesus to help our lack of faith. In Mark 9, Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes." Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." The story of preparation for Jesus' birth, our journey of Advent toward Bethlehem, can perhaps help our unbelief, help our lack of faith. The setting is a distinct point in history of political and religious powers, of rulers and taxation. Politically, things looked bad. the gap between rich and poor, the haves and the have-nots, was growing. There was no reason for optimism, which is not the same as hope. But God was at work, sending angels as messengers, directing the stars to announce the birth of the King of the Jews to the Magi in faraway lands. There is another reality at work, God's work in the cosmic realm of angels and stars that most of us don't see. Our Advent theme this year is to lift our eyes to this invisible reality or barely perceptible realm of stars and angels doing God's bidding. We are so easily bogged down in our very limited perception of reality. But this Advent, we want to lift our eyes to acknowledge that the one who put the stars in place, who sends angels as messengers, has a plan beyond what we can see. This requires a lot of trust. I have been realizing this Advent how little I trust that God is in control, that God is good, that God is God. Do I trust God's unfolding plan for my life, for the world, for those I love, rather than trying to control all the details myself to make sure everything is okay? So the first step of preparing is to realize that God has been preparing long before we had any consciousness. God is the author of prepare. God is not impatient. God writes the story, sets the stage. We are impatient. We feel that it is long past time for God to act. But God is at work beyond our imaginations, preparing. Bring us back to the scripture that Paige read for our welcome. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. God is preparing. Creation is preparing. Stars and angels are preparing. John the Baptist is preparing. Are we preparing? Are we becoming more joyful in our expectancy? What then should we do? John's answer, as Jim Linda reminded us last week, is to prepare by meeting people's needs, sharing our clothing and food. That prepares us for God's kingdom, when everyone will have enough. We prepare by participating now in the kingdom of God coming among us, even if we aren't the ones seeing angels or can't recognize the signs in the stars. As Ron often reminds us, we live in this tension between the spiritual reality that we often cannot see and the reality here on the ground. As he said last week, we are called to lead a way of life that co-labors with God in building God's kingdom, and that God will be actively with us as we do. But in a bent and broken world, it will always be a mixed bag of joy and suffering, of delights and heartbreaking disappointments. So we are also to be very clear that we are waiting expectantly for God to intervene, for God to do a new thing, something that cannot occur in the current brokenness, something we cannot do for ourselves. God is preparing, creation is preparing, we are preparing, and Jesus is preparing. In John 14, Jesus says, "Don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you will be too." Jesus is preparing a place for you and for me. We have hope, not based on what we see, but because we take that step of trust, to trust the God of the universe and to trust also in Jesus. In hope, we enter into that preparation, believing that the current sufferings do not compare with the joy set before us, that this pain is birth pangs, and that we, along with creation, will be born anew. The stars bear witness to the greatness of God. May we not be troubled, but trust in the great preparation of God's work in the world for a future that we cannot quite imagine. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus.